Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Thanks so much.
Oh, hi. My name is Elle Woods, and for my admissions essay, I'm going to tell all of you at Harvard why I'm going to make an amazing lawyer. As president of my sorority, I'm skilled at commanding the attention of a room and discussing very important issues. It has come to my attention that the maintenance staff is switching our toilet paper from Charmin to generic. All those opposed to chafing, please say aye.
A. Neither type of opera or neither type of rap is on sale. B. Neither type of jazz and neither type of opera is on sale. C. Neither type of opera and neither type of soul.
Hey.
Okay. I'm able to recall hundreds of important details at the drop of a hat.
Hey, Elle, do you know what happened on Days of Our Lives yesterday?
Why, yes, Margot, I do. Once again, we join Hope in the search for her identity. As you know, she's been brainwashed by the evil Stefano.
Hello, and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
It is really summer.
It is.
Wow. If you are new to Book Versus Movie, welcome. A few things you should know. Number one, we are not experts on books or movies. We're just friends who like reading and watching films, but we've not studied them, or, you know, we're not literature majors. We're both authors now.
Yes.
Which we weren't when we started.
No.
This little venture. So weird. So if you're new to Book Versus Movie, well, this week we are talking about a book that's been adapted into a film. But since we've been in this pandemic time, we've been doing a brand new episode every single week. And that means that sometimes we're choosing shorter literary sources. It might be a short story or a magazine article or a play or a song. Mm-hmm. In this case, we are talking about a book. And during the summertime, we like to look at summer blockbuster type movies. And we have never discussed, and we've had many requests for Legally Blonde, which we're going to be talking about today. Now, if you are a fan of Legally Blonde, welcome. We talk about a lot of other books and movies here. If you would like to learn more about the podcast, interact with myself, Margot P, or Margot D. Yes, we're both named Margot, and other listeners of Book Versus Movie, there's a few places on the internet where you can do that.
Yes, we do have a basic Facebook page. Be sure to like it. We do post all the episodes there, but we also have a Facebook group, and a Facebook group is a great place to go and interact with other members that like the podcast, but also to give suggestions. We get great suggestions there. So if you're into the Facebook world, type in Book vs Movie Podcast Group and ask to join. It is a private group. We're also on Twitter, Book vs Movie, spell that out. Also Instagram, Book vs Movie, spell those out. And we have a basic old timey email, Book vs Movie Podcast, spell that all out, at gmail.com. We have stickers. We have coasters. We have bookmarks if you're interested. We have some swag if you're interested. So please be sure to check us out.
We also have an Audible affiliation, although, well, here's something you should know if you're new. We spoil everything.
Right.
You're going to, sorry, you know, if you're hoping to just hear a review and not find out what happens, you are not in the right place. We're going to talk about absolutely all the spoilers. And here's one big spoiler. I did not enjoy this book. So even though we have a wonderful Audible affiliation, I would not recommend looking for Legally Blonde on Audible. I don't even know if it's available.
It's not. I think her other work is, but we do have an affiliation with Audible. And they have great titles there, lots of rom-coms, fun books like that. So go to audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie if you want to check them out. Or just check out Audible, give them a look-sees because they have some free stuff there.
That's right. Now, today we're going to be talking about Legally Blonde. Mm-hmm. I was just saying before we went on the air, I've got that song stuck in my head. And it's so annoying. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I was out shopping this morning. I was in Ross For the air conditioning, not going to lie. And I'm walking down the aisles and I'm like, perfect day.
Well, it's the 20th anniversary. It's hard to, we've had like several movies in a row, by the way, where we've had the song stuck in both of us for
Seriously.
Weeks on end. I think it's, I'm still singing The Morning After from the
Oh, no, Kenny, for Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure, yes.
Yeah, it's a very summery kind of a song.
Yeah, so what we're talking about today is Legally Blonde. We should say also that we're part of Frolic Media, and this is a great romance kind of podcast of this movie. Go to frolic.media/podcast to check out their show. And also just one more thing, if you want to support us, we do have a Patreon page. We have lots of great episodes there. We've been doing the show for many years now. Most podcasts only go, podcast apps, excuse me, go back about 2 years. If you go to PATREON, look up Book VS Movie Podcast. If you want to support the show, great. If money's tight and we totally understand, just leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love that. Or just tell a friend or ask for a sticker. Put it on your laptop. Let everybody see at the coffee shop.
I have mine. Yep. Mine's on my laptop. So today we're going to be talking about our author, Amanda Brown, mm-hmm. author of Legally Blonde. And we will get into the movie like at great length, but we need to talk about this book for a minute.
Well, let's just talk about how it came about. This is her first book. She's born 1970. She went to Arizona State University, I believe that was. And then she went to Stanford. And she said around 93, she was going to Stanford Law School. I know this because I went to school in the Bay Area. I went to San Jose State around this time. A lot of, you know, liberal, forward-leaning politics kind of thing happening. I mean, still, it's law school. There's people there to make money when they grow up. I mean, it's. But anyway, she would write these stories to her family, and they told her how funny she was and how, like, her. And so they said, you should collect these into a story. And she took some community class writing classes, wrote a book, and wrote a pitch for agents, and was turned down by everybody. And then one day she got the idea for Legally Blonde. I should print this on pink paper. And it went to a thing called a slush pile, which is just a pile of scripts or books or whatever that agents will grab. Like, all right, I'm bored today. Let me just grab one of these. Maybe it'll. And the pink color caught his attention. Next thing you know, there's a bidding war in Hollywood. It's like the dream of any writer, honest to God. You never have to work a day. She barely had to publish this book. And it kind of shows. I mean, this is a first effort, I would say. I have not read her other stuff. But
yeah, it's not literature. Mm-mm. No.
And not everything has to be.
And not everything has to be. No, not at all. But it's not. No, it's not very well developed.
Right.
There's a lot of clunky storylines
yeah.
and themes. I mean, it evolved. Like, if you love the film like really took it to another level. Like, it took it as a kind of a jumping off place. But Elle in the book, I would say, is very different than the Elle that we see in the movie.
Not very likable.
Not very likable at all. No. And I was, I found myself wondering, I'm so glad you said that. I found myself wondering, like, am I supposed to be rooting for her? Because she seems kind of gross.
She's kind of snarky, and it's told through her perspective, including her thoughts in her head. And actually, there's a show I don't know if you've seen called Physical. It's Rose Byrne, and she plays an aerobics instructor, 1980, and she's going to start the video boom. And the character, her character, has eating and body dysmorphia issues, and she's saying in her thoughts horrible things about herself, but also the people around her, which is a very jarring thing. And I got a lot of that from this, because Elle is just like shitty to people because they're not as pretty as her.
Even in her thoughts.
Yes.
Like, it's really strange. And again, like, I'm very confused as I'm reading this book about, yeah, how I'm supposed to feel about this character. I kind of think we're supposed to be like on her side. I don't know. But she's, first of all of the book takes place on the West Coast, mm-hmm. Takes place at Stanford. So it's not that big of a culture clash when she goes from Los Angeles to it's Palo Alto, right?
Palo Alto.
The beginning is basically the same. She's a sorority girl, and she thinks that her rich boyfriend is going to propose, and instead he breaks up and he says he needs somebody more serious and that he's going to law school. In the book, the other girl's name is Sarah. Mm-hmm. I think it's different in the movie, right? Isn't
Vivian
it? Like
in Vivian. The movie.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the book, her name is Sarah. There's still the thing about the 6-carat diamond. And she decides, Elle decides to go to law school to win him back. But yeah, there's a lot of, a manicurist.
Who's French?
Who's French, has a French accent that she visits kind of throughout the book, who also thinks that that's like an awesome idea to go to Stanford Law to snag your man back from his fiance.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. I'm trying to think about her. Her parents are kind of... Like the characters are all, none of them well developed at all.
She could have used a stronger editor for this, but I mean, who was
definitely?
I mean, I think they were like, it's going to be made into a movie. People are going to buy it no matter what. And maybe she had other ideas she wanted to work on. Maybe, you know, maybe she got tired. I don't know. If a stronger editor could have really brought this together, because the problem with Elle and what they fixed in the movie is if you look at a beautiful blonde, thin person who has a Porsche. You know, you think they've got it made. It's very hard to feel sorry for them or to root for them because you think they've got it easier than you. And in here, she doesn't seem grateful for anything that she has.
No.
She doesn't. She's never, you know, you hardly ever hear her say please or thank you.
No, she's like, wah, wah, wah. I'm discriminated against because I'm a blonde, which in the book is irony free.
Yes.
By the way.
And she's terrible.
She's terrible. She comes up with this idea, and which is like comes up over and over again throughout the book. But she comes up with this idea when she goes to Stanford of a blonde legal defense fund. Again, mm-hmm. Zero irony.
Well, they almost
because
use it in the
movie.
It's
so hard for blondes.
Yes.
So hard.
Look, we're brunettes, by the way. But it's nothing about that. No,
true.
But we're not saying that. But she also just judges people all the time by their hair color. And if they're wearing makeup, if they're not wearing makeup. Why aren't you dressed up more? Why don't you wear heels? And so shallow. And then there's a thing in the story where they have somebody giving her the answers to question to tests and things like that.
Okay.
Why?
She's not earning her way through mm-hmm. or working her way through Stanford on her own because she's not smart enough or whatever. There's some secret admirer who is, giving her answers, helping her out, you know, not quite cheating, but getting real close to that line.
Yeah.
And she's fine with that.
Yeah.
She thinks that's cute. Yeah, it's weird. Eventually, she's in the gym and she runs into Vivian, who is a schlump, we're led to believe. They come to an agreement that Vivian will coach Elle on property law and Elle will coach Vivian on how to use the equipment at the gym because that's an equal trade.
Yeah, she's concerned about Vivian's abs. They could be better.
They could be better. This is the thing. Okay. Yeah. This was the moment where I was like done with this book. So and we're pretty far in at this point. We've been through quite a bit of Stanford law and her almost cheating her way through and being totally fine with that. And she's in the gym and Vivian comes in and she's all like schlumpy and she can't figure out how to use the equipment. And she says to Elle that Warner, her fiance and Elle's ex-boyfriend, that Warner has written down for her, Vivian, the fiance, or Sarah in this case, he's written down for his fiance, here's the fitness regimen that my hot ex-girlfriend used to do. You need to do this. So she's in the gym trying to do this regimen for her man. And Elle's like, oh, like never a moment of like, this is a terrible idea.
Right.
What are you even doing? Elle hears this and feels sorry for her and offers to help her do that very regimen to please Warner. I mean, it's so messed up. Again, in exchange for coaching on property law. Because
she's reading magazines in class. She's not even doing the work. It's very hard to root for her. She's not doing the work. She's coasting on her looks. She's very shallow. And she's very demeaning in how she treats people and just has a very condescending, myopic view of what beauty is. You know, just like doesn't take in other sizes, other colors, other anything. I mean, it just, it's all.
It's super gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I forget how it even ends. Oh, so it's the same thing where there's the murder trial.
Mm-hmm.
Only again, in the movie, that story is cleaner and makes more sense, is better for the plot. It's better, just a zillion times better. In the book, there's still like the young hot wife and the older husband has been murdered. He has a daughter named Chutney. Her name is Chutney in the book, which I do think is hilarious. That yes. is a hilarious name. In the book also, there are lots of other ex-wives of this guy, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, the wife who was on trial for murder, she was like a step instructor, but we're led to believe that like now she's a housewife. She doesn't, I love the in the movie, the idea that her secret is that she got lipo. Yes. I think that's brilliant.
It's genius.
In the book, her secret is that she belongs to a support group for people who are addicted to shopping on like QVC and HSN, which I freaking love, by the way.
Yeah.
I may have that problem.
HSN can suck me in.
I love them. Yeah. I love them. Anyway, so she belongs to a support group and that's her alibi, but she doesn't want to turn anybody in, which is not terribly strong, mm-mm. I feel, in as far as the book and the plot. And the other thing that I think is, again, no irony, people. No wink, wink about it. The murder suspect, whose name is Brooke, I think. Is it her Mercedes? Anyway, her fancy car, expensive luxury car, has a license plate, which reads ISOSWM, which in classified ads speak, remember this a long time ago now, is in search of single white male. Again, zero irony. Everybody's like, oh, how cute. That's so cute that she's driving that while she's already married to a guy and who's now she's on trial for his murder. She's still driving around with an in search of single white male. And then she makes no, Miss Brooke, the wife, makes no bones about the fact that she's already looking for her next husband. She mm-hmm. wants to be married by the end of the year. And again, nobody has a problem with that. It's totally fine. In fact, that's kind of her happy ending, is that she's going on to live her life and find her SWM. I mean, it's just, ugh.
Right. And Elle graduates, and I think she and the Vivian character become friends, and they're doing that blonde justice thing. It's, I mean, I like never wanted to say goodbye to a book more. At the end, I was just powering through it. I'm just like,
seriously,
okay, this is not.
It's not even long, no. But it's too long. If you love this movie, you will really hate this book because I mean, all of the things that one would love about the character in the movie and the other characters in the movie, too, and the journeys mm-hmm. that they go on. Oh, and the other thing. Oh, I just forgot about this. I blocked it out. The other thing is that Elle kind of has a crush on her boss.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this like flirty energy between them every time they interact with each other, and she's like dressing sexy for him and stuff, and like, again, nobody has a problem with that.
It's over 20 years ago, so there is that, but yeah, I mean, the politics aren't great. I mean, it's just, it doesn't age well.
No, even for then though, I think yeah. it's not good.
Yeah.
I love what they did, that they did what they did with that mm-hmm. in the movie is to be commended. And yeah, no, it's not a good book. It's just not.
Yeah. Sorry. She made millions from it because of the rights to the play, to that it's been a musical. But let's talk about how much we do love the movie. The screenplays, Karen McCullough Lutz and Kirsten Smith, and they wrote 10 Things I Hate About You, which is a really kind of clever movie, kind of took this story and they took it apart, really figured out we need to have somebody really likable in the lead, and we have to give her things that make people care about her, to root for her as she's going through her life.
There has to be something good there to start with. That she has to have growth. She has to go through a journey and all of that, which Ellen, the book, really, really does not. I mean, she does eventually say goodbye to Warner and decide that he's not right for her, but it's not really because she had a whole ton of personal growth.
No, you didn't care about them anyway. I didn't care if they were together or not. And then it just wasn't really well put together. The book is published the same year that the movie, and we've had this happen a couple of times, actually. The movie comes out the same time as the book. The movie comes out July 13th, 2001. It's through MGM, and we have Reese Witherspoon as RL. And why don't I play the trailer? It tells you everything. It's one of those trailers. But here we go. Let's play that trailer.
One of the reasons I wanted to come here tonight was to discuss our future.
Of course.
I plan on running for office someday.
Warner.
I think we should break up.
What?
L. If I'm going to be a senator, I need someone serious.
I'm seriously in love with you.
I love you.
This is the type of girl that Warner wants to marry.
A law student.
Going to Harvard is the only way I'm going to get the love of my life back.
For my admissions essay,
action.
I'm going to tell all of you why I'm going to make an amazing lawyer.
I feel comfortable using legal jargon in everyday life. I object.
Her list of extracurricular activities is impressive.
She was in a Ricky Martin video.
Aren't we always looking for diversity?
Welcome to Harvard.
I'm sorry, are you here to see me?
I go here.
You got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard? I got a PhD from Berkeley.
MBA from Wharton.
I've been deworming orphans in Somalia.
2 weeks ago, I saw Cameron Diaz at Fred Segal, and I talked her out of buying this truly heinous Angora sweater.
Malibu Barbie lives.
I've come to join your study group.
Our group is full.
Oh, is this like an RSVP thing?
No, it's like a smart people thing. I give her 2 more weeks.
What is this?
We're betting to see how much longer you're gonna last.
You're not smart enough, sweetie.
I'll show you how valuable Elle Woods can be.
MGM Pictures presents...
Do you have a resume? It's pink.
And it's Senate. I think it gives it a little something extra.
A comedy about knowing who you are.
You think she just woke up one morning and said,
I think I'll go to law school today.
And showing what you've got.
We're defending Brooke Window.
You can buy her exercise tapes on infomercials.
Wait! Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
You're fired.
What?
I have new representation.
Reese Witherspoon.
Do you remember when we spent those 4 amazing hours in the hot tub after Winter Formal? This is so much better than that.
Legally Blonde.
Oh, look how cute. There's like a judge in everything.
Love her out.
One of the big differences here is that they have Elle go to Harvard. Now, your husband went to Harvard.
He did. Both he and I being West Coast people moving to that environment, there is a culture shock that happens. I remember feeling like my wardrobe is totally inappropriate for this place. Like, who am I? I don't know.
I'm so casual compared to everybody else. That's what I felt when I first moved back to New York. Oh my God. People dress nice for brunch.
Yeah. Like everything's not a barbecue. Right. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And so I love that, you know, when you have this character like Elle is like, what's her name? Cher from Clueless.
Yes.
This is like Cher from Clueless goes to Harvard. I love like her look, you know, is so amped up and her chihuahua. And the chihuahua's in the book too. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is so not a Harvard scene. So I love the clash when she shows up and she just looks so totally out of place. And they create this LA that's very, very Clueless kind of LA, which exists even today. That kind of LA still exists. When you take somebody who's like the epitome of that and put them in Harvard Yard, it's great. I love it. It's such a great visual, like her pink and her Porsche.
And so pink.
I put that video. There's this really great video I found that was talking about the class system and new rich versus old rich and how they're portrayed in this movie. It's great. And I love like there's this really great breakdown of Elle's parents and their wardrobe. Which I think is hilarious. Yeah, I love that touch of making it Harvard rather than Stanford, because you wouldn't get as much of that culture clash.
So yeah, he breaks her heart like right off the bat, but we don't completely hate him. We kind of see like, well, he's a young man. He has a plan. kind of being like, look, you know, I know what you want, but this is what I want, and I wish you well. And she, then she just like, well, how do I get into Harvard? And she looks into it and like, well, you have to do well in your LSATs, and you have to have a 4.0
grade. Yeah, she actually studies.
So she studies, and she does the work. Like, she's gonna win him back some way. Alice Ghostly Beasley? Ghostly, is that, who's the...
Alice Beasley? Alice Ghostly is the one from Designing Women and Bewitched.
Yes, yes.
Who I love.
Beasley's from Moonlighting.
The one from Moonlighting. I love her.
And there's a Margot in the movie. One of her friends is named Margot. Does a video. It just really amps up when she does this video and she gets one of the Coppolas to direct it for her.
Hilarious.
Hilarious.
The whole entrance video, her entrance exam, I mean, entrance essay as a video of her in the hot tub in the bikini. So brilliant.
It totally makes sense. So here you have these stodgy white men looking at all these applications, and she shows up, but of course she stands out, and you're like, yeah, let's bring her to Harvard. And I love it. She goes there and she tries to tone down her wardrobe, but she sparkles. She can't help it. And I love it when she runs into the boyfriend and she's like, oh, like I go here. Like what? That's hard to get, like, just.
Elle?
Warner? I totally forgot you go here.
What are you talking about? I'm sorry, are you here to see me?
No, silly. I go here.
You go where?
Harvard. Law school.
You got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard? Oh my gosh, Warner, it's gonna be so great. I'm planning this great mixer. You totally have to help me. I'm thinking like a luau or maybe like casino night. This is gonna be just like senior year, except for funner. Oh, time to go. I have to go to class, but meet me after on the benches, okay?
And she starts taking the classes. Holland Taylor's in this movie. I forget all these really great people.
Oh, I love Holland Taylor. Oh,
she's so good.
I just love her. I loved her. I wanted to be her when I was a little girl and watched Bosom Buddies.
Yes, Ruth.
And she was the boss of the office, the creative of the boss of the creatives. I was like, oh, one day.
I want to be that smart and stylish.
Now I know that's not the funner job. Funner job is to be the creative.
But she goes to Harvard and she just starts, and she gets her own room. Is that a thing where you get in law school? Like you can have your own room?
I don't. How would I know?
I don't know. I was just wondering. But she's she starts taking classes. And at first people treat her like she's just a Twinkie and she's the blondness. And then we meet Vivian, who's Selma Blair. And she's...
perfect choice.
Perfect.
She's pretty.
She's pretty and very waspy looking.
Yeah. Great. I love such a good choice.
She looks like she would be from a waspy family from the East Coast. So he's engaged to her and she's always showing off her diamond. She starts to meet other people there and she's kind of having a hard time at first. I like her first interaction when we meet Emmett Richmond, Luke Wilson. He's such a sweetheart. Like just like.
Okay. Oh, and also,
yes,
going back to the book for just a second, that role is the character in the book who's the secret admirer, who's basically helping her cheat her way through Stanford. And he writes her these like smarmy poems, which she thinks are awesome for some reason. At the end of the book, she meets him. I forget what his name is because I don't care.
Right.
And at the end, she meets him. He has some other kind of smarmy poem for her and she like is totally falling for that. And you're just like, ew, he's supposed to be Luke Wilson and smart.
Who's nice and doesn't treat, he's never condescending. He's just being helpful to her.
Fiction exists in this case.
No, it did not.
Excuse me, are you okay?
Yeah. Did I just put you on the spot like that, like all the time?
The professors? Yeah, they tend to do that. Socratic method.
And so if you don't know the answer, they're just gonna kick you out.
So you have Stromwell, huh?
Yes. Did she do that to you too?
No. But she did make me cry once. I mean, not in class. I waited till I got back to my room. But yeah, she'll kick you right in the ball. Yeah, or wherever, you know. But yeah, she's tough. Really tough.
Great.
Don't worry, though. It gets better. Who else do you have?
I have Callahan, Royalton, and Leventhal.
Yeah. See, speak up in Callahan's class. He really likes people that are opinionated.
Okay.
And in Royalton's class, try to get a seat in the back. He tends to spit when he talks about products liability. And for Leventhal, you know, make sure you read the footnotes, because that's where he gets a lot of his exam questions from.
Right. Wow. I'm really glad I met you.
Hey.
Are you a third year?
Hey, well, I'm a...
Hi. Thanks for all your help.
Good luck.
And she's sort of just gradually, you know, making friends there. But then Vivian invites her to a party and says it's a costume party. And so she shows up looking like a Playboy bunny, but in
That's
pink.
That's in the book also. Yeah. But it's great. I mean, with Reese Witherspoon, it's wonderful. Remember her in Election?
Oh, yeah. Well, she said she did such a good. We'll talk about that someday. That's one book we can't get on Kindle or like he lost the paperback.
We can't get it yet.
Yeah, we can't
one
get
day.
It. We will, because we definitely need to talk about that. This was a couple of years before she was in Election. And she had said that she lost a lot of roles after that because they thought that she was too bitchy, too arch, too much like that character. It was so, because she's a great actress. It was a performance.
It's brilliant that she's just
we'll
remember going to see that and we were like, who is that?
Who is this?
Wow.
So she had to fight to get this part, because now I'm like, who else would you get? It would have to be a Reese Witherspoon. Who else in the planet would do that? I love when she has that. She has the arguments and she's having like, she's at the store getting the computer and she gets the bright Apple laptop and she's in the bunny outfit. And Luke Wilson's just behind her in line like, hey, she's like, don't talk to me. Her way of soothing herself of deal is self-care. And she gets a manicure on the reg. And this is where we meet Jennifer Coolidge, who's Paulette. And this is one of my first films. I saw Jennifer Coolidge. I'm like, who is this? She's so funny.
My favorite Jennifer Coolidge. I mean, and it's hard to pick one. And this one is very good. But my favorite of all time is Best in Show.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. She's.
We eat soup. We love soup.
It's when they're humming and she's like showing her teeth. And she's, how do you hum and show your teeth at the same time? Oh, but she's so brilliant. She's genius in this. I just love her. She's so cute with the UPS guy.
Oh, the UPS guy is a thing, too. I mean, every office, every place has a UPS guy, and they become friends and they're equals. Elle never talks down to people. She always is like sweet to people, gives them a chance, like, you know, becomes a part of their world. She helps Jennifer Coolidge get her dog from her ex Coolidge. And she's helping. Also, she's helped Jennifer Coolidge with flirting by teaching her the bend and snap, which is not in the book.
Oh no, that's not in the book at all. It's very cute. It's weird.
It is.
Like, who would do that? It's just, you'd be like, are you okay? But it's adorable. Like with all the ladies, and I just love that moment too. And all the ladies in the salon like are doing the bend and snap. It's so cute.
Afternoon, ladies.
Hey, how's it going?
Paulette Bonafonte. I've got a package.
He's got a package.
How you doing today?
Fine.
Take it easy. See you later.
Take it easy. That's great, Paulette. Is this the only interaction you two have ever had?
No.
Sometimes I say okay instead of fine. Well, why don't you offer him a cold beverage or a neck massage or something?
Oh, come on, what's the point?
Trust me, Paulette, you have all the equipment. You just need to read the manual. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm going to show you a little maneuver that my mother taught me in junior high. In my experience, it has a 98% success rate of getting a man's attention, and when used appropriately, it has an 83% rate of return on a dinner invitation.
Wow.
It's called the bend and snap. Watch this. I think I dropped something on the floor that I need to pick up. So you bend and snap. See? Come on, you try. Bend and snap. Okay. Yeah. A little less bend, a little more snap. Like this? Good snap.
Reese Witherspoon says that at least like once a week somebody has to tell her about it. They either tell her that they know somebody went to law school because they saw this movie, or they talk about the bend and snap, which that's always a win.
Either way, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. There's a murder. There's a man that's murdered and his wife is on trial. The wife is much, much younger than him. And Professor Callahan, who's one of the professors that likes her, like that likes our Elle. He sees how smart she is. He likes opinionated people. And he has Elle and he has Warner and Vivian, who plays Oz Perkins. I think that's Anthony Perkins' son. I think he is.
Oh.
He looks like him. He has those mannerisms, but they're on the team to help defend this person. And Allie Larder, I just love her. She's great. She's an aerobics queen. I like the one scene where Elle starts telling her, like, oh, I went from a size 6 to a 4 because of your videos. And she just immediately is like, that's great. But she has an alibi. She says that she wasn't there to shoot her husband, but she can't say what it is. And then Elle is the only person she trusts because Elle used to take her classes at the LA Sports Club. And then Elle finally gets her to confide. And that's when she says, I was getting liposuction. And they both kind of freak out and cry at the same time.
Which, do you remember when the scandal about Suzanne Summers getting liposuction?
Oh, yeah.
Miss Thighmaster. That was like a big deal. So I love that they like ripped that from the headlines and used it in this movie. It's like chef's kiss. It's perfect. Oz Perkins, yes, is the son of Anthony Perkins and Barry Berenson, who is the sister of Marissa Berenson. So his mom and sister were very famous models.
Oh, yes.
Very beautiful ladies.
He's very funny in this movie. And Elle even helps him, like, get the ladies. She gets that scene where she says, I'm breaking up with you. It's too much. You're too passionate. I can't deal with you. It's like, she's always so sweet. She's always so good. Then we have the whole trial. Victor Garber sexually harasses Elle.
Who doesn't put up with it. She doesn't go like, oh, great, I'm going to dress even sexier. Puts a stop to it and walks out and is like, it's not worth it. I'm going to quit law school. I loved the way that that's handled. And that would have been, I mean, you have to understand at the time, like there's a lot of movies that wouldn't have treated it that way.
But what happens is that Allie wants to represent her. And then we have a trial scene. So we have to see and there's a lot that's going on here that would never happen in real life. A first year law student is not going to like cross-examine a witness. It's just not so we get Linda Cardellini shows up, who plays Chutney.
She's so good.
She's so
all the cast of this is such a hoot.
The casting is a chef's kiss. I mean, Raquel
you
Welch.
You hear that she's
is in this
Raquel
movie?
Welch. Okay. I love Raquel Welch. Mm-hmm. I know, like, she seems like a giant pain in the butt to work with, but I never don't love Raquel Welch. What was that movie she did with Mae West?
Farrah that's going to drive me crazy. In it too.
Yes.
And it Barry Lyndon? No, that's the...
No, but it's like that.
It's like that. And it was a famous flop.
Raquel Welch, Mae West. It's like the weirdest movie ever, but I still love it. She's so beautiful. Myra Breckinridge.
I was close. Myra Breckinridge.
You were.
Yes.
But it is. It's Gore Vidal.
And she looks beautiful. It's great in the part. Linda Cardellini's on this. Well, there's a couple of things. One, they want us to believe, and this is a very 2000, 2001 kind of thing.
Yeah, bear in mind.
Yes, there's a character that he says that he was having an affair with her, with Allie Larder character. She's like, no way. And then he compliments Belle on her Prada shoes, but he said, you know, those Prada shoes are from last year. So, of course, he's gay. That's like, that becomes a huge part of the story. But another huge part, and this for me, I don't know, because I grew up in the 80s and I had friends who had perms all the time. But it's true. If you get a perm, you cannot wash your hair for 24 hours. Chutney has a big ass perm on the top of her head. And she said she took a shower that day. And they were like, nope, you can't do that. And then she immediately confesses. And then Belle, it's Elle wins the case. And I love that her two friends come out from L.A., Margot and Serena.
To cheer her on. Really sweet.
Because people root for her because they like her.
Because she's nice. She's a good person.
She's a good person. And she wins the case. And in the original ending, we find out because they look, her hair is just a vision throughout this whole movie. Like the time they spent in hot rollers must have been
almost distracting.
Yes. She's so beautiful. And her hair
is a Pantene commercial.
It is like a Breck girl. Like it's like the color of blonde is so yummy. It's just so like lovely. And then originally she was going to kiss her new boyfriend, Emmett. And then she was going to, they had a weird ending where Selma Blair was wearing a blonde wig and they were giving out pamphlets for the Blonde Defense Fund.
Can we not, please?
Yes. And so the audience loved the movie just until that ending. And so then the screenwriters and the producers got together like, we have to come up with something quick. Because Reese Witherspoon is now filming in London, something else completely. And Luke Wilson was filming the Royal Tenenbaum, so he had to shave his head. Both wearing wigs. And she gives this very nice speech at the end. I like the speech. And that's basically the speech.
Somebody else liked it, too. Remember?
I believe number 45. He used that in one of his speeches. Yeah.
There's a great... What's your name? Graham Norton, where he's talking to Reese Witherspoon. I keep wanting to say Reese
Witherspoon. I want to say Belle.
He talks to her about that. It had just happened. It's cute. I'll put it in the Facebook group. But, you know, it's a great speech. It's so much better than putting Selma in a blonde wig, for heaven's sake.
They look ridiculous. Reese Witherspoon put it on her Instagram. If you just like check you can see it for yourself. Emmett and Elle are going to get married, and that's the end of the story. And it becomes this huge smash.
Okay, and how hilarious! Like, first of all, yes, I've been to one of those graduations. You know, they're fairly like button down affairs. Elle seems to have unlimited tickets. Everybody she knows is there. I think even Jennifer Coolidge is there with the UPS guy. And she's pregnant, right? Her dad is there with the martini. He came with a martini. Where'd you get a martini, dude? Like, what?
I was distracted because you look and that's definitely a wig on top of her head. It's.
I know. I mean, they're doing their best.
Right.
I mean, it's done as well as it can be done, but they're spoiled by their own success of making her hair look so sensational throughout the entire movie that when you see it at the end, you're like, oh, has she given up doing her hair now that she's a serious lawyer? What's going on?
The movie's just this huge success. It had a budget of $18 million. It goes on to earn $141 million, which is just spectacular. The second one I didn't like as much. It comes out a couple of years later, Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blue or something like that.
I've never seen it.
It's okay. And then it was on Broadway, and I never saw it on Broadway. I try to see the musicals, but...
My daughter loves that musical.
Really?
Yeah, she really, really loves it. I think she just watched it online somehow. You know, when we were in lockdown, the theaters were amazing, and they put all of these recordings of shows online for people to see for limited times, but you could watch like all the major Broadway shows I watched The Women when we did The Women.
Yes.
And I watched some really cool Shakespeare stuff that some British theaters were putting online during that time. So I think she saw it then.
Ah, okay. It was very popular. I know a lot of people who really love the show and they love the soundtrack and everything, but I don't know. Like, it's not even a contest. It's not a fair fight. It's just it's movie over the book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, she's just a likable character and she's right. not in the book at all. Kind of like when we were talking about another example of like they bought the property and then they published the book at the same time as the movie, Jaws.
Yes.
Where there's no likable characters. There are no likable characters in that book. Not one. Maybe the manicurist. Maybe. Yeah. But she doesn't have a story, really. She's just there to French. To react to Elle and be French.
Yeah.
Oh, he's this for the man. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a likable character. You root for her from the beginning. You're like, don't waste your time with this guy because you like her. In the book, I just don't care. I don't care about any of them. I don't care about her. I don't care about him. I don't care who gets married to whom. I do not care.
Yeah.
I don't want to know about these people. So kudos for like the pink paper in the manuscript.
Absolutely. And set for life once again. I'm sure she got a really nice deal.
Oh, she's fine.
Yeah. And she's written other books and I think she sold other books for so she's fine. She's doing great. But this is definitely a case of movie. And I super loved it.
Yeah. I mean, the only criticism really is the thing about the is he a trainer? Is he her trainer that he says he's in love with her? And then he says the thing about the shoes. I mean, this is even before Queer Eye for the Straight Guy happened. I mean, that's really the only thing I think that, you know, we want to thumbs down, but it's great. I mean, the design choices are awesome. The casting is great. Again, I really love the way the whole scene when the boss is hitting on her and how that's handled and the fact that Selma Blair's character like misinterprets it and then realizes that she made a mistake and makes amends like a grown up.
Yeah.
Great.
And they become friends and they have each
other's
back.
Yeah, they end up being friends.
Yeah.
Because they're cool. Who needs that guy?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's very good in the movie, though. He is.
He's super good. You're like, okay, I can sort of see what she sees in him, even though he's dumb and insensitive. Like, okay, you can see how she would fall in love with the story of them.
Right.
But it's believable.
But she becomes the hero of her own story, which is really an awesome thing.
It's a great message.
I also want to give a shout out to the costume designer, Sophie DeRakoff, because those outfits are...
All of them.
I
noticed for the first time, I never noticed this before watching this movie, but it's when there's a scene where I think it's in the courtroom. Maybe, you know, I don't remember at which point. There's a few courtroom scenes. There's a scene in the courtroom. Now, at this point, Elle and Selma have been friends for a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. What's her name? Vivian. And Vivian is wearing a beret, this beret that's like Argyle, very Brooks Brothers, like, you know, her style, but it's got like little sequins, like this little sequin trim on it. So it's like a little tiny bit of flash to let you know, like, oh, she's sort of busting out of this image that, you know, I love that they didn't do the storyline of Warner wants me to do your workout regime. Will you help me? Yes, of course I'll help you. Aren't I generous?
The movie is just fantastic. And follow Reese Witherspoon on Instagram. She's very smart. She has her own book club. Yeah.
She does have her own book club. Didn't we do one of her books? I feel like we did one of her selections at some point.
She was the She produced Gone Girl, or she bought the rights to that. She does that quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, she's smart.
Yeah, loved it. So what are we doing next?
Well, I'm not sure. We have like some ideas here. Logan's Run, that person just died. I didn't know if that would be of interest to the author.
I adore the sets in Logan's Run.
Yeah.
Like that shopping mall that they run around in. I freaking love it. I love that movie.
I don't know how long the book is. Hold on. Alexa, how many pages is Logan's Run? 164.
That's not bad. No, let's do it.
Oh, awesome, because we want to keep summer fun, sci-fi.
Is it, what's his name, what is your name, that was in Cabaret?
Yes, Michael,
he's in it, right?
Yes.
And also, didn't they do like a remake with Reese Witherspoon's ex-husband, right? Didn't they?
Yeah,
Am I remembering that? And it was not good.
Like, no, they tried to take a few of those movies in the 70s and tried to redo them in the 2000s and 2010s. And Logan's Run is available 1977. It's on Amazon. Let me just double check.
Sweet.
Just make sure the movie. Yeah. It's on Amazon, Apple, and we're talking about the actor, Michael York.
Michael York, thank you. It's a perfect day. Da,
da, da, oh, da, da, Hoku, da, da. The singer of that song, was 20 years old when that song came out. That was her first single.
And really?
Yes, I read this. She did an interview for Marie Claire. And then she left the business because sexual harassment was so rampant and so ugly. She's the same age as Christina and Britney, and she's like all that generation.
That's such a shame.
Yeah, and she said it was just too much. Just was like, no, this is not for me. So she's from Hawaii. And so she stayed in Hawaii, and she still plays music and stuff, and she's a mom. She's got kids. But yeah, that you know, she wrote a really catchy song, and she had a lot of personality, but you know, the music business is gross, and it just, like, it's another example of somebody that could have had a really great career.
Sun's up, it's a little after 12. Make breakfast for myself. Leave the work for someone else. People say, they say that it's just a phase. They tell me to act my age.
I'm excited for our next one.
Me too. That's going to be fun.
That's super
okay.
fun.
Okay. Where can people find you on the internet, Margo?
I forgot to mention this last time because you asked me and I said, I'm on Twitter. I didn't say where. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Brooklyn Fit Chick. And I'm asking you guys if you could please follow me on Instagram. That'd be great. My book's going to be coming out and I'm posting lots of my own photos there, my own content, films in Brooklyn. And my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And Margo, where can they find you?
And I just want to say, I have so been enjoying your Brooklyn posts.
Thank you.
They are so much fun. So many places. Like I had a lot of them, some of them I knew and I'm like, oh yeah, da, da, da. But a lot of them that I didn't know. Very interesting.
The Eat, Pray, Love house.
No idea. Yeah. I was very surprised. That one surprised me.
Yeah.
So you can find me online, Instagram and all that, whatnot, at She's Nacho Mama. And my website is coloniabook.com.
All right, we will be back next week with a new episode. Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Book vs. Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more podcasts you will love at frolic.media/podcasts. We follow the hashtags Lady Pod Squad and Potter and Family. If you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, go to Patreon, and look for Book vs. Movie podcast. We have a basic Facebook page, but we also have a private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group if you want to join that. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs. Movie. Spell all those words out. If you'd like to send us an email, it's Book vs. Movie Podcast. Spell that all out at gmail.com. We do have a promotion with Audible. If you want to check out their service for free for 30 days, go to audibletrial.com/Book vs. Movie. You can follow Margo D at Brooklyn Fit Chick on social media and Margo P at She's Nacho Mama. Thanks so much again for checking out our show, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.